Before we get started our service this morning, I got a little announcement I'd like to share with you. Don't know how many of you might have seen this on Facebook or whatever, but many of you know Brother Dennis Moe, and you know he's had he's in fourth stage of cancer. And next Sunday is his birthday, and his wife had asked him what he wanted for his birthday. And he said that if you know him and would like to send him a card or a note, I'm sure he'd appreciate it. So he asked for cards for his birthday. And I have his address here, and I'll post this back on the bulletin board for anyone that's interested in maybe getting Brother Dennis a card and send it to him.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. From the shadows into your radiance, by the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. So our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Thank you, Megan and Shelby. Let's forgive a little fatherly pride. I had to put the squeeze on the kid there, but she was willing to come out and sing for us. We thank you for that. My brothers and I would like to take this opportunity to welcome you to the house of the Lord. And by way of introduction tonight, to my left is Elder Dennis Seymour. He will be doing our invocation. Behind me is Deacon Eli Carnahan, who will be bringing our message. And to my right is Elder Ed Turner, and he will have our benediction tonight. and I'm Elder Dan Walker. Well, we all know this is Halloween. I couldn't find anything about Halloween in the scriptures. I did find in Deuteronomy 18 what I would call counsel to avoid it. I'll share that with you now. I really didn't expect to find anything about Halloween, but I was kind of surprised at how pointed this is. This is out of Deuteronomy 9th and 10th verses. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that which useth divination, or an observer of times, or enchanter, or witch. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Well, I didn't know what divination meant, and I sure didn't know what necromancer meant. So I looked it up. Divination is the practice of attempting to foretell future events or discover hidden knowledge by supernatural means. A necromancer, I didn't look up the definition, but said I selected a bunch of synonyms that go along with it, and you'll recognize the synonyms having come out of what I've just read. Charmer, conjurer, witch, wizard, shaman, Satanist, or soothsayer. So I think that probably Halloween's not at the top of the good Lord's list of activities we might get involved in. A little history behind it, though. Halloween comes from the ancient pagan festival celebration by the Celtic people of over 2,000 years ago, called Samhain, which means summer's end. They believe the festival is a time when the dead would walk among the living. I did, though, find a little story I thought was worth sharing, I thought was kind of cute, that you might enjoy. A 10-year-old little girl was asked by another classmate, "What is it like to be a Christian?" The little girl replied, "It's like being a pumpkin. God picks you from the patch, brings you in, and washes all the dirt off of you. Then he cuts open the top and scoops out all the yucky stuff. He removes the seeds of doubt, hate, greed, and etc. And then he carves you a new smiling face and puts his light inside of you to shine for all the world to see." Our weekly theme today was out of Matthew 13. And I selected two verses out of there, 46 and 47, to read. These two verses are showing the worth of the kingdom of heaven, that it is worth selling all that you have to buy it or to purchase it. When I read these verses, I want you to consider Jesus left heaven and gave his life to purchase you. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field. And when a man hath found a treasure which is hidden, he secure it, and straightway for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. How great is your worth in heaven? What was our Lord willing to pay for that? Let's continue then with hymn number 284. I have found a glorious gospel, after which Brother Dennis will bring our invocation.
Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we offer to you our thanks, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to come to your house of worship this evening. I pray that you'll be with our brother as he brings forth the spoken word, Lord. Give him the presence of mind for that which he has decided to bring to us, that we might learn more of you. And we would ask, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit might be with us this night upon this congregation, upon each of those in attendance, Lord. We know that you wish to bless each one of us. Therefore, we look forward to that blessing and come to you in humility, asking that you might attend with us. And we pray this, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.
Good evening. Today's scripture reading is going to be out of Alma chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. And now, my brethren, I wish from the innermost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance, but that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call upon his holy name, and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and all longsuffering, having faith on the Lord, having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at the last day and enter into his rest. And may the Lord grant unto you repentance, that ye may not bring down this wrath upon you, that ye may be bound, that you may not be bound down by the chains of hell, that you may not suffer the second death.
God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I come to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I come to you to share
to be reading out of section 18, verse 6a. Pray always, and I will pour out my Spirit upon you, and great shall be your blessing. Yea, even more than if you should obtain treasures of earth and the corruptibleness to the extent thereof. Section 61, 6E. Pray always that you enter not into temptation, that you may abide the day of his coming, whether in life or in death. Helaman chapter 2. Verse 70. And now, my sons, behold, I have somewhat more to desire of you, which desire is that ye may not do these things that ye may boast, but that ye may do these things to lay up for yourselves a treasure in heaven, yea, which is eternal and which fadeth not away, yea, that ye may have that precious gift of eternal life, which we have reason to suppose hath been given to our fathers. And then over to verse 74 and 75. Remember, that is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall. And then over lastly to Helaman 2:31. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray often, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the fulfilling of their souls with joy and consolation. Yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God. So today I'm going to be talking about praying continually without ceasing. Now, I've been trying to do this throughout the past week and a half, and it's not very easy. It's hard to find what to pray for and to pray about and how to go about doing it. And so I've done quite a bit of research in it, and I wasn't expecting to be preaching so soon, but as of Monday I was asked by Josh, because he wasn't going to be able to make it, if I would be able to preach for him, because he felt led to ask me, and I told him I would. So you get a little bit early. So if you go over to Alma chapter 12, verse 5, it reads, but this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting, therefore they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and authority, even as with the power and authority of God. Going over to section 46. We're reading from verses 8 and 9. And it shall come to pass that he that asketh in spirit shall receive in spirit, that unto some it may be given to have all these gifts, that there may be a head, in order that every member may be profited thereby. He that asketh in spirit asketh according to the will of God, wherefore it is done even as he asketh. And again I say unto you, all things must be done in the name of Christ, whatsoever you do in spirit. And you must give thanks unto God in spirit for whatever blessing you are blessed with. And you must practice virtue and holiness before me continually. This here says that, along with section 18:6A, that as you pray continually, you will be blessed with the Spirit, and as you fast and pray for the spiritual gifts, you will receive them, and you will be able to use them in your spiritual life. Prayer is a large part of our foundation of building on the rock, as stated in Helaman. It helps us to resist temptation. It says that we need to pray without ceasing, that we may be able to resist the temptations of the devil, and to pray for strength to resist the temptation. Prayer and faith go hand in hand. It is necessary to have faith when you pray, or otherwise your prayers will avail you nothing. And without faith, nothing will happen. It's also used to obtain salvation. If you look at Omni chapter 1, verse 47. It reads, "Yea, come unto him and offer your whole souls as an offering unto him, and continuing in fasting and praying, and endure to the end, and as the Lord liveth, ye will be saved." Also in Helaman 2:31, which we read, it's used for asking for repentance and for forgiveness. It's necessary to be led by the Holy Spirit, as of Alma 10:28. It reads, but that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call upon his holy name and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and all longsuffering, having faith on the Lord. Prayer is required to have charity, as read in Moroni chapter 7, verse 53, to pray for charity with all energy of heart, that you may have charity to be with you. Interestingly enough, evil thoughts lead us to the gall of bitterness, as stated in Acts chapter 8, verse 22 and 23. And by praying continually, you direct your thoughts more towards God and what you can do for him, and not so much about the evilness of others or what they do to you or how they necessarily make you feel, but you can pray for them, and that helps you change your spirit inside so that you are not always angry or having problems with others. Praying just helps you keep your mind pure and close to sanctification. Now, I've also looked up on the internet what others thought of praying continually means. There are several different definitions that I have found. One of them is that you just continue to pray in life and you don't stop. An example would be, say, the brother of Jared, when he was getting ready to cross the waters, he had stopped praying and he was in trouble for that and he got chastised. And the Lord told him to continue in prayer. That is one idea of praying continually. Another one is praying for the same things, asking God, like it is said in the parable of the unjust judge and the widow, continuing to ask God the same for the same thing, continuing to ask him in prayer of that until it is received. Another one is keeping God in thought at all times. And so that way you can always have your thoughts directed towards God so you can always enter into prayer at any moment in your life, whether you're in any situation. And lastly, the other one I found was continual talking with God and keeping him in your thoughts and words in your heart, praying in your heart constantly. When you constantly pray to God in your heart, your thoughts are always directed towards God. And I feel like that is the final stage of where we want to achieve, that we may obtain the ability to pray continually. So, having that in mind, I put together a little list of things we could do to pray about and to pray for. So, as stated in Alma 4:6, we should pray for those who know not God, and we should come together and fast and pray often for them. In 1 Nephi 4:9-13, and section 75, verse 2e, it says that we should pray for understanding. If there's something you don't understand that you heard in, say, a sermon or from a class or even just reading in the scriptures, you ask God for understanding and he will help direct your thoughts as you seek out that answer. As it says in 2 Nephi chapter 14, verse 11 and 12, that you should consecrate your performance and all your doings unto God, that he may, how do I phrase this? That he may put it towards the welfare of your soul, that you would be blessed in all things. As it says in Alma 5:40, you should pray for all your needs, both spiritual and temporal, that you may not be wanting. I believe it says somewhere in Psalms I read recently that God always blesses his children, and David had never seen any saint wanting or without. They always had something to keep them going, whether it's, say, it's keeping their paycheck so they can pay all their bills, just enough money to get them by, or always having enough food so they don't go hungry. Some examples. As also stated in Alma chapter 16, verses 178 through 184, 219 through 224, and 238, gives us a whole another list, and that's a pretty long one, so I'm not going to read it tonight, of things to pray for. And it talks about work, home, family, friends, everything. Just encompasses all things which you should pray for. Things we should pray against, as stated in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38, is temptation. We need to pray that God will help us resist the temptation, that we may continue to endure to the end, so that we may have his strength and spirit to be with us. Pray for the sick, as stated in James chapter 5, verse 15. We must keep the sick in mind, and that is why we have the prayer list, and it's very useful and helpful. I have received many blessings from that prayer list when I was on it, and I'm very thankful for that. Many others have as well, and all each have testimonies who have been on it. We should pray for our enemies, as stated in Matthew chapter 5, verse 46, that we may love our enemies and do good to those who hate us and despitefully use us and persecute us. As stated in Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verse 7c, we should pray for healing, both for ourselves and for others. And also for charity, as stated in Moroni 7:53. We should also pray for deliverance from evil, which also goes along with temptation, but I feel there's sometimes, like in the Book of Mormon, where the enemies were coming upon the Nephites, they prayed for deliverance from their enemy, which is also a good thing we could do as well, even in this day and age. That's stated in 3 Nephi chapter 2, verse 16 and 36. We should also pray for help against our own carnal nature, that because we know that the carnal nature is a natural enemy to God. And if we fall to its subtle temptations and it draws us away from God, we are not really living saintly lives, but we are having trouble getting through. And we need the Spirit of God to help us through so that we may continue to head toward their goal of purification and sanctification. And that's in Moroni chapter 8, verses 3 and 32. And also for forgiveness, as stated in Enos chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, when he prayed to God all day, and he received a remission of his sins. And that is something that is really hard, but he went out and did it. He had drawn out, which is something that's a little bit easier because you don't have all the distractions of the world. But it's also hard to know what to pray for. Also have some tips here on praying. So tip number one is to be humble. We need to enter into the depths of humility to God, that we may be led by the Holy Ghost to ask according to His Spirit. We need to be sincere and ask with real intent, meaning it with our whole hearts, like asking for charity with all energy of heart. We need to pray both vocally and silently, both at home and at church and in public, with all people, whether they're friends at work or friends at home, and places where you eat, or even places where prayer is not often heard, that we may be witnesses unto God, or of God to others. We need to be thankful. That is very hard to do sometimes, to find everything to be thankful for, but it is also very well worth it if you can begin to find things you're thankful for. Like recently I'd seen the movie Pollyanna, and in that they had played a game. So you had to find thankfulness in something good, something bad, and just in all situations. And as you sought to find thankfulness or something you were thankful for, it helped you improve your mood and be happy and just made you as a happier spirit in general. We should pray for mercy over on all people. I read a scripture saying, talking about repentance. I don't have the reference written down, but it said to not say, I thank you, O Lord, for being better than others, but forgive me, O Lord, for a sinner, and have mercy upon my brethren. And helps us to realize that not just we are sinners, but all people are sinners. And we need to help pray for others that they might, that God might have mercy upon their souls also. Another tip is to listen to the good spirit to direct you. And sometimes it's hard to understand whether the good spirit is directing you or if it is not, or if you're just kind of praying for this or that. And it's sometimes hard to hear. So it helps to pray and fast and become more in tune with that. And I have a little story to kind of help with that. It's called Shut the Door. And it's from Story Illustrations for Church and Home. A boy telephoned his father from a booth in the hallway of a school during the noon hour. The hallway was noisy, and the boy kept saying, I can't hear you. What did you say? Finally, the exasperated father said, if you shut the door, you can hear better. The door was shut, and the conversation was carried on without difficulty. One of the favorite hymns of the church begins with the words, Come ye apart. It is the Lord who calls us. How often our attempts to talk with him are frustrated by the bedlam of voices that crowd in upon us. They are not always real noises, as were those disturbed the telephone conversation. More often than they are random thoughts that push into the forefront of our thinking. They are just as harmful as real noises if they prevent us from concentrating upon our conversation with God. Do you ever kneel in prayer at your bedside and go through the formality of calling God's number with the words, Dear Heavenly Father? Or some other introduction and then find your mind wandering over the events of the day? Sometimes our thoughts, other thoughts so occupy your mind that you quit trying to pray and give up in disgust with yourself wondering, if God isn't disgusted with you too. It helps us to say our prayer out loud, but then we are troubled with the choice of words and are in danger of losing freedom of thought that comes in unspoken prayer. There's only one effective way to quiet the voices that disturb our rapport with God, and that is to seek his presence earnestly until we have such a consciousness of his nearness that we become deaf to any other thought voices that would demand our attention. God is very patient with us, but I sometimes fancy that I hear him saying to me, shut the door, and you can hear me better. And another one I have is called Remembered in Prayer, and is on the effectiveness of prayer. And this is from 405 Worship Illustrations. This happened in the Inglewood Congregation of Independence, the spring of 1949. Brought many storms and tornadoes in the Mississippi Valley. Thousands of lives were lost, many injured, and untold poverty was destroyed. In the terrible storm at Cape Girardeau, Missouri, one of the Inglewood families was represented. A father and mother and two young sons took refuge in the basement of their home. The tornado demolished it, burying them in its ruins. Rescuers reached them later, surprised to find them alive. The boys were given refuge, and the parents near death were removed to a hospital. We prayed for them in our prayer meeting. We remembered them daily at our home. Week after week, their names were on our prayer list, and we never forgot them. God did not forget them either, for miraculously they continued to live. First returned to us were the boys who came to stay with their grandparents. At the prayer meeting, they bore their testimony of gratitude for their delivery. We continued to pray. Later, the mother came and stood to bear her testimony of God's goodness. The father continued to make fine progress. Doctors were amazed. The beating heart of the congregation is the prayer meeting, and its lifeblood is prayer. It is the altar where the light of the Holy Spirit burns most brightly. When trouble and danger come, people of the church say, "Remember us in your prayers." And for a short testimony of when I started praying and trying to pray without ceasing, I find it easier to do at work for me when I just have tasks to do and they're not so, and I'm so used to the tasks that they're almost second nature. I just scan the item and I order it. And so it's really easy to just kind of focus on praying in my heart. And at that time I had a little bit of a runny nose, and I think I had what was more like a sinus infection, but it's more in my throat. And so I was having trouble trying to get rid of it, and you know, you got to be extra careful, especially when working in a public place with other people and people who are more health concerned, while working in a food store when you're kind of sick and you're going to work, but you know it's not COVID. So I was praying for that, and I kept praying about it, and I prayed for about close to 12 hours, and that was really hard, trying to find stuff to pray for. So I tried praying for the nation, deliverance from evil, and all sorts of stuff. I even prayed for people, asked God to bless them in their welfare that I talked to and helped. And I pretty much made it about till when I got home, around the time I went to bed. And I know it says in scriptures to rise up with thanks in the morning and thanks in the evening, and pray for all things that you were in need of and whatnot throughout the day. And so I tried doing that. And the very next day I woke up, I wasn't sick anymore. It was healed. It was gone. And so I would encourage you to try that for yourself and receive those blessings. It's a little hard at first and challenging, but as you continue to do it and you work at it, it becomes easier and easier.
Thank you, Eli. We'll continue now with 377, hymn 377.
Thank you. Our Father, which art in heaven, in the precious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we come to a close of this, your day, the Sabbath day, a day set apart. And we're so grateful, Lord, that we can find ourselves in this place of rest and peace, that your good Spirit has accompanied us. And so it's with great gratitude that we thank you for trusting us with this time, for the stewardship for my brothers and sisters that have gathered. I pray that you would comfort them, enlighten their minds, and soften their heart, and that we might take the words that our young brother presented to us from your spoken, from the spoken word, from the scripture in which has brought ministry to many a generation that gone by and will come yet to come. And we thank you for these words that we can take. And I pray that we might learn the wisdom in searching you out daily in prayer, that we might apply this to our life, that if nothing else, Lord, help us to have the strength to experiment upon your word, that we would apply it and see how it is that you might work in these latter days. We thank you for trusting us, for revealing yourself to our life, that we might have strength to endure the days that lie before us, and the hope in your Son, Jesus Christ. Might you go before this congregation, Lord, and go into their homes and help us throughout this week, that we might petition thee, that we might learn and know how we might be a light into this world, that you might use us for your good, that our life might be a life of service and sacrifice for the sake of your kingdom and for the sake of the souls that you've trusted to put before us. Bless each one, O Lord, and above all these things, forgive us of our sin. As we go our way, until we meet again, we pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.